It's good to be here with you, bring you greetings from our fellowship there in Limassol, International Evangelical Reformed Church, made up of many nationalities. And it's good to be here. And Richard and I, we go back a long way, as you were saying. He was converted in Cyprus, and then he was in Melbourne Hall, where I was converted many years ago. This morning we want to look at how the early church confessed about Jesus Christ. We read about these people, like John the Baptist, and his disciples who left him, two of them. One we know, the other one is not identified. And then he went and found Philip, who then found Nathanael. And each of these persons, they confessed something about Jesus. They tell us about Jesus. They tell us about what they believed about him and what he meant to them. Some of them met him for the first time. I don't know if you remember the day of your conversion. You might not remember when exactly, because not everybody can remember, not everybody can say, well, there's a particular day that they were saved. I remember walking into Melbourne Hall wearing a turban. I was brought up as a Sikh. By the end of the day, I was still wearing a turban, but I was changed when God spoke to me about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus was not just real, but that he was alive, that he was a real person who was living. And if I put my trust in him, he had the power to forgive me my sins and to give me eternal life and give me a hope. I remember that day. I don't remember the exact date just now, but I remember him. First time we meet people, you know, some people make a very deep impression upon us. I've met people over the years that I've never forgotten. Some people remind me of Jesus, and they resemble him in so many ways, and you never forget them, you know, being in their presence and the fragrance of Christ that surrounds them. And, you know, that rubs on you, and you long to be like them. You want to imitate them. You want to walk with God as they are walking and they have walked. This is what happened to John the Baptist and to his disciples. It's amazing, the testimony of John. Even though he was a close relative, he and Jesus were related to each other, cousins. But John says something quite amazing, that he says, I did not know him. I did not know him. He says in verse 31, in confessing, having confessed, you know, pointing out, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says, but I, you know, there was a time when I didn't know him. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, speaking about the Messiah, about Christ, that he was, you know, pre-existent. He existed before John did. And in verse 31 he says, I did not know him. I didn't really know that he is the Messiah. But that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. So John tells us about this amazing experience where Jesus came to him to be baptized. The other evangelists, they give us the account. John doesn't actually give us the account, but he tells us about the impact it had upon him. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and he remained upon him. So the other evangelists tell us what happened, how when Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him, lighting upon him like a dove. But John, the gospel evangelist here, he's the only one who tells us that what John says, that he said, the Spirit came upon him and remained upon him. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came down upon people for different ways, for different gifts. But then, you know, sometimes he was away. But with Jesus, we read here that when the Holy Spirit came down upon him, he remained upon him. I did not know him, said, but he who came to baptize, who sent me to baptize with water, who sent John, it's God who sent him. And he had a very special role. John was a little bit like, you know, an Old Testament prophet who was now going to, you know, lead us to the New Testament. He's standing in between the two covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant is coming to an end, and the New is beginning. And he tells us that when he baptized, when Jesus came up out of the water, and God spoke to him and says, you know, he upon whom you see the Holy Spirit coming and remaining, this is he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining. This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So he tells us a lot about Jesus. He tells us that his own role is that he was just baptizing people with water. People were coming to him near the Jordan. They were confessing their sins, and he was baptizing them with water. But about Jesus, he says, but here is someone who's greater than me, the greatest of all the prophets and of all the teachers and of all the priests in the Old Testament. We were hearing last night in a meeting about the offices of Christ, you know, the Messiah, that Jesus is a prophet, he's a king, and he's a priest, and he is greater than all the kings of the Old Testament and all the prophets and all the priests, because he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So that was something, you know, he was prophesying about what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost, when the Jewish, you know, part of the church, where they were going to be baptized into the Holy Spirit. And from then on, everyone who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment of our conversion, the moment of our salvation, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. We are united to Christ. We are united to God through this massive, amazing, wonderful experience of the Holy Spirit coming upon us and dwelling in us and being in us and with us forever and ever. But that is the work of Jesus Christ. He will baptize you. I am only baptizing you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You know, really identifying that here is someone, you know, he's a man, he's a prophet, he's a Messiah, but he is a lot more than that, that he is God, because only God can give us the Holy Spirit. And what an impact this testimony had on some of the disciples of John. You read in verse 35. And again, the next day, John stood with his two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, I think it is Spurgeon who, you know, says that, you know, there was something very special about the way Jesus walked. It would have been amazing. It would have been wonderful, you know, for ourselves to see with our own eyes. But of course, we see him by faith. We see him walking by faith. Even today, when, you know, he's walking in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. See, Jesus is walking, and Jesus is here, and he's walking amongst us. You know, we're all sitting, I'm standing, but Jesus is walking. And he's reading our thoughts, and he's reading our hearts, and he knows everything about our lives, and he knows what we need. Like he did with the 7 churches. I know, he says to each one of them, I know all about you. He knew all about John. He knew all about Nathanael. He knew all about Simon, son of Jonah. He knows all about me, and he knows all about you. looking at Jesus as he walked. I think it's Spurgeon who says maybe there was this weight, the weight that Jesus was carrying. He was carrying on his shoulders the weight of my sin and the weight of your sin. It was on him. He was carrying this weight. The Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb, he's going to be slaughtered, he's going to die, but he's taking that burden of sin, he's taking it, you know, with him, and it's going to be nailed to the cross, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples who heard him speak, they left John. They stopped going to the church of John the Baptist, and they started going to the church of Jesus. They left John, and they followed Jesus. And then when Jesus turned, he saw them, and he asked them, "What do you seek? What do you want?" How will you answer that? And how would I answer that question? If Jesus asked you, as he's walking in the midst of this lampstand here in Hyde Park, "What do you want? Why are you here? Why have you come today? What are you looking for? What are you really looking for?" And only Jesus can supply that need. Because at the end of the day, what we really need, what we really want is him. Only he can satisfy. Only he can satisfy. Riches cannot satisfy. Career cannot satisfy. Family cannot satisfy. Husbands and wives and children, all these wonderful things that God gives us, they cannot satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus can reach us where it really matters and touch us there. And these two disciples, they understood that, they realized that. And Jesus said, "What do you want? What do you seek?" And they said, "Rabbi." So this is their confession. "Rabbi." Immediately they realize, well, here is someone. He's a teacher. "Master, where are you staying? We're coming with you today. We're going where you are going. We're not going to leave you. Where are you staying? We want to go and see where you live. We want to see how you live. We want to see how you treat other people. How does Jesus treat people? You know, what would Jesus do?" You know, sometimes we ask, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus live here? How would Jesus live in Winchester? How would Jesus live in your home and my home? "Where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." That's what we got to do. You know, it's no use now listening to other people's testimonies. It's no point, you know, wonderful as they are, in listening to other people and hearing about their experience of God. But what about your experience of God, your individual experience, or your personal experience of God, your personal encounter with God? Have you met God? Have you met Jesus Christ? Have you fallen in love with Jesus Christ? Do you love Jesus? Do you regard him as the most wonderful person that there is? That there is no one like Jesus. Can you sing, "Oh Jesus, you are the most beautiful person that there is. The most glorious. Who accepts me, a sinner. Who forgives me, who pardons me. Who saves me. Who is faithful to me. Who strengthens me, who stands by me, who holds me up, who encourages me, builds me up, who cheers me up, who never leaves me." He says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." One day, your husband, your wife will go, will die. I will die. You will die. Jesus will never leave you. And though, said the psalmist, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Come and see. Come and see. Don't just listen to me. Come and see Jesus. Come and see, what he's really like. And they came and they saw where he was staying and remained with him that day, for it was now about the 10th hour. So it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They stayed with him till the late hours. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. This is the early church. This is the first group of disciples of Jesus. Very special person, Andrew. He had a brother whom we can never forget, one of the most important men in the church, Simon Peter. And he did something amazing. He did the first thing. He first found his own brother, said, I must tell my brother. And said to him, we have found the Messiah. Another confession. Rabbi, Lamb of God, Messiah. All the Jews were waiting for the Messiah. They had heard prophecies about him. And they were waiting for him that he will come and he will deliver us. They thought he would deliver them from the Romans. But instead he came, born in a manger. People weren't really sure about his family. Who was his father? In a very poor family. They didn't even have money to pay for the room where Mary could give birth. So they was in a manger, outside, in the shed. So Messiah. And he found him and he brought him to Jesus. How wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. A very special experience. I hope you have been given such an experience of leading others to Jesus. Of being there, of seeing somebody being born. It's not like being in the labor suite, seeing a child coming and spiritually seeing this person being born again. Receiving Christ, believing in Christ for the first time in their lives, giving their hearts to Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Hearing somebody pray that for the first time, being there, you'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. He brought him to Jesus. And now Jesus looked at him. And Peter never forgot that. Because there was a time when Peter, 3 years later, was going to be standing near a fire and warming himself in the same room where Jesus was under arrest. And a young woman came in and says, I know you. You are a Galilean. You are with that man. Peter said, No. Sorry, you got the wrong guy here. I'm never with that man. I've never seen him before. I've got nothing to do with him. And then again, somebody else. And then the third time, somebody else said it. And Jesus looked at him. That's when Peter broke down. This is why Peter broke down. Because when the first time that he met Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, I have chosen you to be a rock in the church, to be a pillar in the church, to be a leader in the church. You are Simon, son of Jonah, and you shall be called Cephas. That's in the home mother tongue of Jesus, Aramaic. In Greek, it's a rock, stone. You shall be a stone. And then the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee and he found Philip. Follow me. Follow me. We need a leader. Our country needs a new leader now. Maybe same person will come back but we need a leader. Man or a woman, we need somebody who will stand up for the truth. Stand up for the right way, the good way, the commandments of God. Bring back the Bible to this nation, to this world. Follow me. Are you following Jesus? Are you going where Jesus is going? Where is Jesus going today? Is he coming to your house? That's what he said to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down, Zacchaeus. Today I'm going to your house, I'm coming to your house. Your house ready to welcome Jesus? Now Philip was from Bethsaida, so all the places surrounding the Sea of Galilee. The city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him." It's another confession. "Of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Why did he say son of Joseph? Because these guys, these men, you see, they were just the first encounter of Jesus. They were really just beginning to understand. They didn't know everything. They didn't know all the things that we know now. They knew he was the Messiah. And Nathanael said, "Well, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You see, Nazareth, and I've been to Nazareth. It's not really very impressive at all. We went in there, my family and I, and within 15 minutes we were out of it. We didn't really like it. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." You know, sometimes, you know, when you're evangelizing, you're reaching out to people, to your family, to your friends. And they got all these questions, you know. What about this? And what about that? And what about this? And you come up with, you know, the best arguments. And you read books and you do your research and you go to them and you try and answer their questions. But then when you answer their questions, they got more questions and more questions. But in the end, you got to say, "Come and see." You go to Jesus yourself. Go to him with your questions and go to him with all your doubts and with all your unbelief, and you go to him and find out for yourself what he's really like. Let him answer your question. The big why, let him answer it for you. Come and see. And then Jesus saw him coming toward him and said, Here is a man. He's got no deceit. Here is a man with character. He's walking straight. Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" You know, we started our journey today from Southampton to come here. Effectively, what Jesus said is, I know when you left the house, you know, when you left the house, this is what your condition was. And you got into the car and you did this and I know you. That's what he said to Nathanael. "I know you. I know everything about you. I know before you who your parents are. I know when you were born and how you were born." And with some people, God can say, through Jesus Christ, "I know you. I know you, and I've known you. I've known you before the world was made, before the creation of the world. because you were loved by my Father. My Father loved you, and my Father gave them to me. Isn't it wonderful? That's what Jesus says. I know you. I know you. Before you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And then Nathanael confessed. One of the greatest confessions here at the beginning of the Gospel of John. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the King of Israel. You're something very special. There's something very unique about you. Your claims are exclusive. You alone. You are the only person who can take this platform. Nobody else can share this platform with you. You are the only one. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And this is really what this gospel is all about. And John tells us, the evangelist, coming towards the end of the book of John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, this is what he says in verse 30. And truly, after the resurrection, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The only one, the only begotten, the only one and only Son of the Father who was in his bosom, who was in his bosom, who is in his bosom. That you may believe. Do you believe? Do you want to believe? And you've got all these issues. You've got all these hurdles and you can't overcome these hurdles. Things that you regard as stumbling blocks. Something that's stopping you. Bring it to God today. Bring it to him just now. Let him deal with it. Let him answer your questions. Let him reach out to you as he says, what he said to Laodicea, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and eat with him and he with me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Because I said to you, and Jesus said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You know, when we first time we meet Jesus, it's wonderful. When we fall in love with Jesus. Have you ever fallen in love with Jesus? And that's a very special moment. You have to treasure it. You have to remember it. You have to go back to it many, many times. First love. That's what Nathanael experienced. Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. This is only the beginning. That's what Jesus said to him. You're only just starting. You're a baby now. You're a baby Christian. But there's a lot more. You will see greater things than these. And I said to you, amen, amen. The first time Jesus says here, this amen that's repeated. Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open. You see, when John baptized Jesus, Heaven opened then. What an experience. And only John experienced that. And all the people that were standing him, they only heard thunder. But John, he saw heaven opening and he saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and lighting upon him and remaining upon him. And Jesus says to you and to me, Hereafter you will see heaven open. Remember how Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, I think it is, when he was all alone and he, time to sleep, he took stones for his pillow and he lay down. And when he fell asleep, he had a dream. And he saw a ladder. The ladder began from where he was lying and it went all the way to heaven. And he says, and the Lord was standing. It can be taken either the Lord was standing at the top of the ladder or beside the ladder. And God was standing there. And Jacob saw the angels of God ascending this ladder and descending upon this ladder. And God spoke to Jacob and God blessed Jacob. And Jesus says, hereafter you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, the cloud rider from the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7. It's God, this person whose deity, who was brought to the Ancient of Days, and to him was given a kingdom, a people, and nations and tribes were given to him. That he will have a kingdom that will be that stone that strikes the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and that will become a mountain that will cover the whole planet, will cover the whole earth. He is that cloud rider and upon whom the angels of God are ascending and descending. What does that mean? See, there is this traffic. Traffic. I lived in Manila for almost 3 years with my family. We were pastoring a church there. Well, the traffic in Manila, crazy. And it's polluting, and everybody, these jeepneys, they are belching out, you know, made, you know, diesel engines, and they're belching out this smoke into the atmosphere, and there's chaos, so much traffic. And Jesus said, you believe, you continue to believe, you continue to follow me, you continue to love me, you continue to obey me, you will see this traffic. You will experience this traffic between heaven and earth. That's what Jacob said. You know, he called that place Bethel. This is the house of God, the very gate of heaven. And he was talking, he was prophesying, he was seeing things that we now understand that he was seeing about Jesus. And Jesus is that house of God. He is that sanctuary, that inner sanctuary, that holy place, the most holy place. And we can go into that most holy place. And heaven is open and you will see heaven open and the way has opened. And the curtain and the veil that was torn into two. And Jesus says you can come inside. You can have this experience of communion and fellowship with God. Know God and speak to God. And God will speak to you. And God will come to you. But you've got to start somewhere. And most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you will see heaven open. Is heaven open for you? Although sometimes, you know, you will feel that heaven is not always open. Sometimes Christians experience dark moments. Sometimes Christians experience, you know, that God is very far away, that God has abandoned them. God never abandons people. Oh yes, sometimes he hides his face. He does. For mysterious reasons, for unknown reasons, we do not know. But all good for us. But he never forsakes us. He never forsakes his people. He can never do that because Jesus was forsaken. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that I would never be forsaken and you who trust him, you will never be forsaken. He will still be there. Though you might not always feel his presence. You might not always experience a joy and delight. But he'll still be standing there like he did with Jacob. And the Lord was standing there. The Lord stood by him. And hereafter you will see heaven open. And the angels of God ascending and descending. There's prayer going up and answers coming down from heaven, speaking to God and God speaking to you. It's a wonderful experience. I hope you know him. I hope you trust him. And I hope you catch this urgency there and this delight there, that there is more to be known. More to be known about Jesus. More about Jesus would I know. More of his saving power. More of his grace. More of his love. The deep, deep love of Jesus. May you know that love today. May God pour it down your soul with the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless you. We're going to sing.